Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're with us on this Thursday morning. It's the 17th day of October, and boy, it's a little chilly out there today. Saw people wearing their coats as they're heading out the door, a little frost when I was coming in. So some people got the frost this morning, which marks, as somebody pointed out yesterday, the end to the growing season. Like, if we got frost, the grass should stop growing. So when I mow it this weekend, it'll be the last time I have to mow it.
We haven't had to mow for, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks. It's been pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I'll bet. I haven't mowed in a week, but I need to mow it one more time before I call it a season.
Well, that's something to celebrate, though, right? Well, see, you have the built-in irrigation system. That's something my husband really, really, really wants because, and I do feel bad for him, but he's out there, you know, because we had our lawn aerated and seeded and all the things. So you have to be very diligent about going out and, you know, watering your entire lawn every day after that. So he's out there dragging the hose around the yard with his little timer going off every 20 minutes.
Hey,
I do feel bad for
him. Call Pro Irrigation, proirrigation.com.
Can we get a free irrigation system?
I should say prooutdoor.com because they changed the name of it. So prooutdoor.com can take care of that for you, and they can winterize it, and they're going to come and do that for me next week, I should say. Get your appointment scheduled. Coming up, Shannon Bream is going to join us from Fox News Sunday. I wonder, I'm sure Shannon is happy with how the Brett Baer interview went. But, I mean, the way that the Democrats have handled this, like they got her there late. They wanted her whisked out of there before the thing could really get rolling. I think it's because they realized it wasn't going as they had hoped. And we're going to talk to Shannon about all that for you coming up here in just a few minutes. Our friend Griff Jacobs before the hour is out. And a great event that is coming up that you can probably still get tickets to. And I'll tell you about that before the hour is out. Stay tuned for that. First, though, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I should note, we did not find a single person who audibly would tell us that they voted for Kamala Harris. These were Trump supporters getting out to vote early in the all-important Mojave County.
There you have it. These folks are talking about Arizona early voting, which is already underway. That was MSNBC, and they were shocked to not find a single Kamala voter when they went to the polls.
Why, if he's as bad as you say, that half of this country is now supporting this person who could be the 47th president of the United States, why is that happening?
Wow. That's why do 50% of the people support the guy you claim is so bad, Ms. Vice President? Well, Donald Trump. That was the only answer she gave pretty much through the entire interview.
And I'm a bit disappointed that what I saw, and this is not to disparage Brett Baer, you know, he was a little bit dismissive.
Oh, he was dismissive. She brought up all of these serious concerns about the mental health of Donald Trump, and Brett Baer didn't agree with her on any of it. So he dismissed her concerns. How dare he do that? Wow.
I never thought it would be this difficult. I really didn't. I was naive. I was stupid. I don't know what I was. I even told my mom, give me a couple of months and I'll rid Colombia of its anti-Semitism.
Wow. That is a guy who's a professor still at Columbia University, Shai Davidi is his name. But guess what? He's suspended. All of these protests, these anti-Semitic protests on campuses across the country, including Columbia, and the guy that gets suspended is the Jewish guy who they claim was intimidating other employees. Wow, he's an Israeli citizen. He's been among the most prominent and outspoken of the campus critics of these pro-Hamas protests all over the place up there. We know Jewish kids are afraid to walk across campuses because they might encounter one of these crazed groups who harass them or threaten them physically. And this professor speaks out on their behalf. He's the one that got banned from campus yesterday.
I would like to know what he was allegedly saying that they viewed as threatening, because to your point, Mark, I mean, how many students were threatening those Jewish students on campus and nothing happened? To my knowledge, there were really no consequences other than finally, after days and days of what I would call violent protests, you might say rioting at one point, they finally shut it down.
Yeah. Well, they argue that something he did on the one-year anniversary of the Hamas attack on Israel is what led to this problem, that they've not limited him up until now, but that he threatened, intimidated, and harassed somebody as a result of what he saw. He's probably, imagine an Israeli citizen, probably so outraged by the stupidity of these people who were on his campus, he couldn't take it anymore. And I mean, you can't really blame him for that. This is why he claims he's in trouble. He spoke out yesterday on social media. I think maybe it was Instagram. Listen.
Sometimes when I make my posts, I curse. You probably know this. It's not for shock value. It's not for anything other than expressing my emotions. And today when I was interviewed by one of the many journalists I talked with, I was asked about that. And I realized something. I realized that for some reason, American society is more offended by me using a curse word than by professors openly supporting Hamas and Hezbollah. They're more offended by me challenging an administrator than by students holding signs glorifying October 7th massacre.
Yeah. I think he's absolutely proper. I got in somebody's face, cussed him out, and they've now decided he was intimidating people. Unlike those pro-Hamas protesters, really? Who are allowed to do and say what they want. I mean, I'm a free speech guy. I think the First Amendment kicks in when you get offended by something. It's that it protects the person that has offended you with their sticks and with their words and not sticks and stones.
You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of all the people being so offended by everything. And I'm not going to pretend like I never would. I've never felt that. Of course I have, especially with some of the things that people say to me. But I'm really working on that. And I think I've gotten better at it. And one of the books that's on my list of books I'd like to read is by Brant Hansen. It's called Unoffendable: How Just One Change Can Make All of Life Better. It's on Amazon. I'm looking at it right now for like $10. I mean, that would that not be such a game changer in our society if people weren't by every little thing? I mean, I understand certain things that people say are very hurtful. But my gosh, it's a bunch of pansies in society now. And you say one little thing and they're up in arms. Like you, even these people who accidentally misgender somebody, accident. They are like, how dare you? The audacity you have. It was a mistake. Well, first of all, I wouldn't agree to call somebody by their preferred pronouns. It's your biological gender I'm going to go by. But I'm so tired of it. And I want to read that book. And I hope you guys do, too. It's called Unoffendable.
My guess is, and thank you for the recommendation. My guess is that that's going to be reflected in the vote this year. I believe people know that if the Democrats win this election for the presidency, all of that is going to get worse times 10 under a Kamala Harris, politically correct, DEI-driven administration. And I think you're absolutely, I hope everybody realizes that, and everybody who's sickened by it will get out and vote early and often. Well, at least early. When you can do it in person, go do it. Don't wait till Election Day. I think there are going to be really long lines. Quick break. We got Shannon Bream coming up from Fox News Sunday.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Donald Trump, he's misguided. You say now
he's unstable. He is unstable, but
he's not well. You say he's mentally not stable.
He's not stable.
Let me ask you this. You told many interviewers that Joe Biden was on his game, that ran around circles on his staff. When did you first notice that President Biden's mental faculties appeared diminished?
Joe Biden, I have watched in from the Oval Office to the Situation Room, and he has the judgment and the experience to do exactly what he has done in making very important decisions on behalf of the American people.
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Vox News Sunday. Shannon Bream on the phone with us this morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. That was one of Brett Baer's most brilliant questions yesterday. He lured her right in with how crazy is Donald Trump and then wanted to know, why didn't you say anything at all about Joe Biden? And she did not. She either was not prepared for that question or she's just never going to tell the truth about it.
Well, and you have to know that certain questions are going to be coming, just like we were all a bit surprised that she was unable to, enumerate one thing she would do differently than the current Biden-Harris administration. It feels like you know those are questions that you're going to get. And, you know, if President Biden is, you know, fit as a fiddle and strong and ready for four more years, then why are you running instead of him? I think that's just, you know, a question I would have expected she would have expected.
I listened to Brett talking about how not only did she show up, 10, 15 minutes late for that interview, but then on top of that, her staff was out, you know, behind the camera wrapping him early. So I'm just curious, obviously, you interview a lot of people at the Kamala Harris level. Is that common that they're just late to these interviews and then they're sitting there trying to wrap you early?
Well, hey, listen, when it's somebody who's at this level, I mean, running for the presidency, sometimes there's a lot of hurry up and wait. They've got demanding schedules. But here's the thing is that they knew, I mean, he would have preferred to do this live. You always prefer to do it live because then you don't have to worry about edits. People are seeing things in real time. But this was the deal they made because of the vice president's schedule. So when she shows up late and she knows they've got to try to turn this for the 6 p.m. show, it's already incredibly tight, even if they had 5 to 5:30. But the fact that you're then starting at 5:15, I mean, it really pushes up everything to the brink. So, yes, I have been in situations where the staff is like, rap, 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 rap. They don't want to step into the frame to do that because then you have video of them doing that, and that's a little awkward. But, yeah, that happens sometimes when people think, okay, enough here. We got to move on.
You know, when we get opportunities here sometimes to get Fox News correspondents on in the morning, they tell us in advance, I got to be out by 36 because I've got another hit I got to do with the network. And we honor that.
Right.
In this case, I speculated earlier, what would happen if Brett had just kept going? If he would have said, this is so important that I'm not going to let them stop me from asking this one additional question. Because I agree with you, Shannon. I think there's no way they would have been bold enough to step into the frame because that would have looked even worse on her.
Right. That looks a little strange. And staff is going to, you know, do everything they can short of that to actually stepping in. And then you've got them on camera pulling her away. And it looks as if they're trying to run for the interview or something. So whatever the situation is, you just don't want the optics of that. Listen, I once had President Trump call in when I was doing a nighttime show. And his folks said, like, you're going to get like 10 minutes or whatever it was. And he just kept talking. And I thought, well, until the president himself tells me he's not answering questions, I'm just going to push it. So reporters are always going to get as much time as we possibly can until the staff has a complete meltdown.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Britt Hume. I heard him say last night after this to Brett Baer, I don't think you really got anything out of her. I mean, you didn't hear anything new last night except Donald Trump. The answer to every question was, but Donald Trump. You think her handlers have just said that's his negative is his name, just keep saying it over and over again?
Probably. Probably so, because, listen, their policies for the last 3.5 years, if you poll across party lines, people are very concerned about the economy. They do point the finger of blame at the current administration, at the White House. I mean, that's just what people are going to do, whether it's an R or a D in the White House when they're struggling financially. So you have to deflect. You have to talk about how he's divisive and whatever else you want to, you know, say about him and his policies. But I thought a moment last night that was really important that may come back to be used in ads against her was when Brett was pressing her on the issue of, you know, transgender taxpayer-funded surgeries for people who are in prison or here illegally, and she kept trying to press back to the Trump administration and said, you're responsible for what happens in your administration. Mm-hmm. And I thought, they're going to use that line, and whether it's the border, the economy, they're going to take that line and run against her with that, her own soundbite.
100%. We have about a minute left, but, you know, a lot of the interviews up until now have been softball, like the sex podcast, Call Her Daddy. So Fox News obviously was probably going to be the toughest interview she faced. Mm-hmm. Does she do any more, or you think she's going to go back to the places that are a little bit more comfortable, like the CNNs?
I mean, as my buddy Dana Perino pointed out, I mean, she should have been doing more of these. The more reps that you get, I don't know that Fox is the first one that you want to walk into that you know is not going to be a complete love fest.
Yes.
Maybe you do some other ones first and just get kind of your muscles and get your flex and get ready and go, because Brett does not play. I don't know. I think she'll do more interviews because they're going to want to, you know, finish this out strong in the next 3 weeks.
I know she doesn't have the guts to go on Fox News Sunday. She does not want Shannon Bream.
Listen, she's always invited. Doors open.
You got a guest list already for this weekend or not?
We do. We have Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to be with us. And one of the things we're going to talk about is this DOJ lawsuit that's trying to stop Virginia from cleaning up their voter rolls when it comes to non-citizens. But we'll talk about the race more broadly as well.
Excellent. Shannon, thanks so much for your time.
Have a great week.
Yep, you too. Shannon Bream there, Fox News Sunday. Our friend, I'm sure Griff's got a few thoughts on that interview as well. We're going to find out where in the world he is and what he's covering coming up here in just a couple of minutes.
Jocelyn Mungeri, Rachel Morin, Lakin Riley. They are young women who were brutally assaulted and killed by some of the men who were released at the beginning of the administration, well before a negotiated bipartisan bill. Former President Clinton actually referred to Lakin Riley Sunday, campaigning for you in Georgia, saying if those men had been properly vetted, Lakin Riley probably would not have been killed. So if it wouldn't have happened, this is well before any negotiation. This is well before Donald Trump got involved in the politics. This is a specific policy decision by your administration to release these men into the country. So what I'm saying to you,
do you owe those families
an apology?
Let me just say, first of all, those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced for a loss that should not have occurred. So that is true. It is also true that if a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago, it would be 9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more support for the folks who are working around the clock trying to hold it all together.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, Griff, tell me, have they repaired the hole in the wall where your head went through it as she answered that question yesterday?
Not yet. And here's a problem with that. And good morning, by the way, Mark and Kim. The problem with that answer is that when he raised, in the case of Lincoln Riley and Bill Clinton accidentally saying the quiet part out loud, that Lincoln Riley would still possibly and likely be alive, she pivoted to the border bill. Well,
yeah.
Here's the inconvenient facts. The Lincoln Riley's killer, a Venezuelan, crossed in El Paso in April of 2022 and was released by the Biden-Harris administration. And the bill she talked about being shot down, that she blames Trump for killing, was shot down in May of 2024. So 2 years nearly to the day is when the vulnerability and problem that led to Lincoln Riley's death occurred. So that bill wouldn't have done a damn thing to address that. And she deflected to the larger broken system. But at the end of the day, you know, I think the part that stood out the most for me, there was a lot there, was the and I'm not just, you know, kissing up, the brilliance of Brett playing Jocelyn Nungare, the 12-year-old kid, teenage daughter of in Houston, Texas, that was murdered by Venezuelan migrants. He played her words when she testified, blaming the Biden-Harris administration, and he said, "Do you owe her an apology?"
Yep.
And she said, "I'm so sorry for her loss," didn't apologize, and then pivoted to saying, "But let's talk about what's happening now, about an individual who doesn't want to participate in solutions," and moved to Trump. And that's telling that she won't accept responsibility, and it's also telling that she fails to see what I think, and I've said this before on the show, is the biggest story of the past 4 years, and that is the chaos at the border because of the real-life tragic consequences that we see, sadly, on a near weekly, if not daily, basis.
Well, what'd you think of her response when Brett was talking about how the National Border Patrol Council just came out and endorsed Trump? And not only that, the president had some very strong words saying that if we allow Harris to be elected, this country is going to hell. I mean, I'm quoting right there. And I think her response was something like, well, those Border Patrol agents, they're working hard. They're working around the clock. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think she's just trying to pay lip service, Kim, because that is a incredible shift when their talking point was, well, the Border Patrol Union supports our border bill. Now it's turned out to, we've had enough with you. You know, I was reporting with Bill Malusian last night on Twitter or X about the number of, more than half of the border surveillance cameras are now unoperational. They're not working. And why is that? Well, because those cameras identify people when they're crossing, and they allow the Border Patrol to record known gotaways, right? Known gotaways are migrants that illegally crossed, were seen or observed, and were not apprehended. They didn't catch them. And so in the field, Border Patrol makes a note of those, right? Under the Trump administration, right, there were 417,000. Under this administration, 1.9 million. And so when she says, oh, yeah, I feel their pain, we've got to get more border agents out there, those words fall short against a border force of nearly 20,000 that are exhausted. The mental health and morale issues in the Border Patrol are grave, serious, and the worst they've ever been. So I don't think they took much away from it.
Yeah, you know, Griff, I'm not saying you're old, but you've been around a long time, my friend. do you think this makes a bit of difference, her interview on Fox, or maybe she does another unfriendly interview? Do you think it makes any impact at all in these polls?
Well, we'll see. I mean, look, if I've learned anything in my geriatric stage is that when you say you know something, you don't, because it's anybody's guess.
Yeah.
And look, I think that the, you know, fair analysis is that her team looked at the tightening of the polls, particularly now with all seven swing states in Fox's power rankings as a toss-up, and they said, hey, you know what? We got to go in the lion's den. We got to reach out. We've got to reach those independent voters, people that really haven't been paying attention like you, Kim, and I have been doing for the last several months, that they're just arriving to it saying, hey, I got to vote in a couple of weeks. What's going on? And I'm not sure she did anything in that interview to try and clarify where her policies and where her positions will be on any given issue, immigration, economy, or otherwise. And I think the one takeaway, if I was an independent voter just sort of tuning in for the first time with popcorn and was entertained, you probably remembered that she did say that, you know, with regards of, you know, her presidency versus Biden's, that she would not be a continuation of the Biden presidency. And that's going to be something I think that sticks with people.
Is there another migrant caravan headed this way? I read that headline the other day, but I don't know what to believe. You've got enough context down there, you probably know.
I do. It's real. And, you know, migrants have been in Tapachula, the southernmost city there where they cross over from Venezuela. You've seen me floating on a raft in the Suchiate River between Guatemala and Mexico and Tapachula. And they've always had people coming there. But now it's in the thousands. There is a fellow border reporter, Todd Benson, has been down there documenting it. And I know him and I know some of these other people. And so I think what you're probably seeing without being on the ground, I think it's pretty safe to say that you're seeing a push for whatever group of migrants were in the pipeline saying, hey, you know what? We're hearing Trump's doing well. We better get over and get across now before he gets in, because he's likely to shut the border down.
Wow. Hey, Griff, we appreciate you giving us some time this morning, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
All right.
Who knows what the next 19 days will hold?
Who knows? We'll talk next week. Griff Jenkins there, live up in D.C. this morning. He's been obviously covering that issue on her immigration response. Wow. I'll let you hear from J.D. Vance. He was on Fox and Friends a bit earlier this morning responding to that interview last night. We'll get to that, and I'll tell you about a great event going on this weekend you can probably still get tickets for. We'll be right back.
Why, if he's as bad as you say, that half of this country is now supporting this person who could be the 47th president of the United States, why is that happening?
This is an election for president of the United States. It's not supposed to be easy.
I know, but
it's not supposed to be. It is not supposed to be a cakewalk for anyone.
So are they misguided, the 50%?
Listen,
are they stupid?
What
is it?
God, I would never say that about the American people. And in fact, if you listen to Donald Trump, if you watch any of his rallies, he's the one who tends to demean.
In the room when major decisions were made, but we have to sort of step back and appreciate there is something pathological going on here. She has been in power for 3.5 years, and when asked about how she would be different, she goes and talks about Donald Trump. And when when it's pointed out, well, you've actually been in office for 3.5 years, she says, well, you know, he's been talking about politics for 10 years. What is it in the mind of this person that can't just acknowledge that she has been in power for 3.5 years and bears some responsibility as the sitting vice president for the condition that the country is in?
Yeah, that's J.D. Vance on with the Fox and Friends this morning, reacting to the Kamala Harris interview last night. I don't know how else you could really slice that thing up. I mean, the reaction was absolutely the same no matter who you talk to. This the same with Scott Jennings, who is over on CNN. I'm sure they didn't appreciate his take on it either.
She has no answer for why Biden and Harris threw out Donald Trump's executive orders and changed everything, and then a flood of people came in. An ounce of humility here would go a long way, and she doesn't have it in her to do it, and she has no real answer other than to blame Congress. And Brett was right. Democrats controlled everything when they took over. And so is she saying it's the Democrats' fault that the immigration system is broken? I don't understand this. I don't understand why she can't just say, hindsight here, we shouldn't have done it. I think the American people would actually accept it, but she won't do it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I know that the goal is to not say we made a mistake, we were wrong. But if she had just been transparent and said, I've learned a lot over these last 3.5 years, you know, looking back, it's not something I think we should have done, but we're going to do things a little bit differently, and we're going to do whatever it takes to protect the American people.
Yeah.
Would that go over well? Could that earn her some points?
Maybe, but I don't know who she's earning the points with. I just don't think many people are still undecided at this point.
I don't either.
I think this election will be determined on turnout. And I think there's going to be a groundswell of people who are still pissed off about 2020 and who want Donald Trump back in office because they've seen the disaster that is the progressive liberal Harris-Biden administration. And I said that in the reverse order for a reason. She sat in on all these meetings. She was there with all these important decisions and now wants to take zero responsibility for all of it, but says she would do nothing different if she was there again. You can't have it both ways. And I just don't think the American people are buying it. I don't think if she was the president of your company, if she was brought in as your manager, I'll guarantee you'd be going home every night complaining to your significant other about how dumb your boss is. You won't believe what my boss said to me today. You won't believe what policy she's instituted at the company now. I can't look at somebody directly in the eyes. I have to avert my eyes when I pass them in the hall.
Out
of fear of offending them.
She makes Joe Biden look a little bit better. Despite all his fumbles, I actually believe that the policies, albeit, in my opinion, terrible policies, were his ideas, or at least a good chunk of them. I don't think any of the policies that Kamala has on her website that was just posted, a handful of weeks ago, are her ideas. Well, and she can't articulate it. If push came to shove, if let's say there was some sort of huge threat to our nation's security, I am terrified at the idea of her being at the helm of that.
I'm with you completely. Tell you what, on a brighter note, let me tell you about what's going on tomorrow night. Friday the 18th is the big St. Louis Bourbon Festival. I've gone to this the last couple of years. If you are a fan at all of bourbon, you're going to love this. They fill up four or five streets down around the Limp Mansion. It's blocked off. There's plenty of security and there is plenty of bourbon. I mean, you can't go there and not have enough bourbon. It's every booth is giving out samples. They've got VIP tickets that get you into different areas if that's what you're looking for, or general admission. There's still tickets available if you go to stlouisbourbonfestival.com. They've got over 600 bourbons and whiskeys that you can try down there. They've got live street performers. They've got food trucks. They're going to have my friends from Lit Cigar. Brian Snyder and his folks are going to be out there with fresh cigars for people who want to partake in that. But the point is, you probably need to act soon. It's possible they could sell out. They have a limited number of tickets, and they filled that place up last year. I got there 45 minutes early, and I had a ticket, and I had to get in line and wait to get in early. They let you in about an hour before your ticketed time. So take advantage of it, and maybe I'll run into you down there somewhere tomorrow night at the St. Louis Bourbon Festival down there near the Limp Mansion, and plenty of parking, so you won't have any trouble getting in. They recommend you Uber down there because you probably don't want to be driving when you leave.
Probably fair to say. Hey, maybe you'll run into some of the city's new, what are they called, where they're walking around the city trying to patrol the streets, but they're not armed.
Oh, yeah.
Something patrol.
The Paw Patrol? No, that's not it.
Yeah, the Paw Patrol. Yeah.
That's what
my
grandson watches all the time now.
Yeah.
No, you might. You might run into some of the social workers down there. They probably need to drink after what they've seen the past week, don't you think?
I'd love to interview one of those people and be like, how's it going so far? What kind of things have you run into?
Do you have any idea what you were getting into?
Or do you want to quit already?
Do you want a handgun? Because that might come in handy.
Here, let me take your slingshot from you.
All right. Well, tell you what. Kilmeade is up next. I'm sure we'll have more on that Harris interview. He probably talked to Brett Baer personally, and we'll get to all that for you. You got Andy Fry, Mark Reardon later today. Kim and I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.